This is Wade Rathke, and this is Wade's World. That means it's Friday. That means it's 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're here with Wade's World from 9 to 9:30 at KABF, 100,000 watts at 88.3 FM. The Voice of the People, broadcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas, on the website at www.kabf.org. And on a podcast on our website is early next week. At Wade's World, we talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're talking to Orell, that's O-R-E-L-L, Orell Fitzsimmons of Houston, Texas, who's the state director of Local 100 United Labor Unions in Texas. Orell, welcome to Wade's World.
Glad to be here.
Look, Texas is a big state. It's a neighbor to Arkansas. We all hear about and read about the big prize to see if the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare as people know it, will be successful, is whether or not a significant number of the 5 million eligibles will be enrolled in Texas. How, I know you're involved and you've been working with navigators in Texas. What's the progress down there?
Well, we've gone off to a good start. It's just a long ways to go. I think pretty surely it's going to take us 4, 5, 6 years to get to that 5 million people. We've had some stumbling blocks put in front of us, but so far we've been able to get past those stumbling blocks, and we're reaching out to people. We've had a real uptick in this in the month of March, and getting people calling. All these people we've been contacting for 4 or 5 months are now, a lot of them are calling back saying, "Oh, it's getting down to the deadline. Let's get an appointment to come in and sign up." So it is starting to pick up. It's not near as close as where we need to be. But it is the first year, and I think what we're certainly looking at is that as this enrollment period ends on March the 31st, that it opens back up in October, and with word of mouth and people getting good policies, that word's going to get out, and we're certainly going to be doing a whole lot better that second time around.
Well, and there's a deadline approaching, as you say. People are calling, coming into your office saying, "Let's get on." That's in March sometime, right?
March 31st, after this, this month.
Now, there may be a couple of days extension. Nobody said. The president hasn't said. But, I mean, I'm sure anybody who's in line towards the end is going to be able to get on. But March, it's going to be, here we are March 7th. That's only about 3 weeks more to go. So it's worth getting it together. Now, although you say there's a lot of work to be done in Texas, several hundred thousand people have enrolled, haven't they?
Right, they have. And it's that's the encouraging part. On the end of the month, I was at a meeting yesterday, and they were talking about how there's going to be such a big response at the end that the computer may go down again. So we certainly want your listeners to get in line and get in line early, because you don't want to wait till the last day, or it could be a problem.
Well, and I know they've even said that on the call centers. The February call center delay was up to 8 minutes as people start pushing through, where it had been down to only 38 seconds before in terms of some of the studies. So for sure, if there's a line, it's always going to, if you're at the back of the line, you're going to have to wait a couple more minutes. But
yeah, it's, I think it will be a problem at the end. We may get an extension, which will be a good thing. People are just starting now to get serious about it, just like they did in Massachusetts when they implemented it up there through the state. This is a process, and we're learning a lot from it this time, and I think we're going to get better at it next time. And people do need to come in and call in. If people in Arkansas have friends in Texas, I call them up and tell them to come on in, and we'll give you a phone number to call.
The governor, it seems like a lot of these governors who are running for president have decided that one of the main things they're going to stand on is opposing at every nook and cranny the expansion of affordable care. And that's true for Governor Rick Perry in Texas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's going to make a big thing about being against Obamacare, even though millions and millions of people now have health insurance that would never have it. I think it's, in the long run, a bad issue for him to run on. So I say, because I'm not a big fan of his, that he should just keep talking about it, because as more and more people get on this Obamacare, it's only going to be good things being said about it. So,
well, this is very confusing to people because, you know, obviously enrollment's been going on since October, but now recently the governor in Texas, Governor Perry, you're talking about, came up with new rules here this late in the game for those people who are acting as navigators. And I know it was one thing, it was another thing, it was topsy-turvy. What really is going on? Fingerprints, for example.
Well, the entire staff in Texas had to go down to a fingerprinting place and get a fingerprint done. They're also doing a state check on background check on all of us, and also doing an FBI check, and that usually takes 2 or 3 weeks to do. I got in fairly early on February the 12th, and I barely made it under the line. Got certified by the state on the last day of the month, February.
So that was a requirement that people had to be certified by when? March 1st?
Well, it seems like now they have to be certified to do business in Texas as a navigator by the 1st of March, or you can't really do it. They had told us we had until May 1st to get the exam done and the training, but that seems to have gone away now.
So let's go back to this fingerprint thing. So how long did it take? You had to wait in line to get your fingerprints taken?
Well, the line really wasn't at the location where we're at. The line was developing because you'd go online and pay online and get an appointment online, and you would go to the website, and all the times to come were taken.
For weeks away.
Weeks away. We even had one organizer, I was adamant about getting everyone done as quick as they could, actually drove all the way to Beaumont to get his fingerprinted situation done. Didn't tell me until he got back, but I might have suggested something else. But, you know, and I mentioned this at the collaborative meeting the other day, and the city guy said, yeah, I had some people that had to go to Beaumont too. So they only had one company you could, you know, get your fingerprints at, and you go on that website, and and what happened, of course, was it was so much of a backlog that by the time you actually got in there, it was pushing up against February the 28th. So four of our eight navigators in Houston didn't, or six of the eight navigators in Houston didn't get certified by March the 1st. They were able to do it a little quicker in Dallas, and I think most of their people got certified by the end of the month. So
they just had more companies they could go to? Is that what?
They when they went in, yeah, more companies or less people doing it. One of the things is they went to the site and they had open dates real early. So the now when you asked me about going to get the fingerprints, when I went there, there wasn't a line. There was like three or four people. I waited 30 minutes and bingo, I'm in there. It takes about 15 minutes and I'm out. So
then you have to start waiting for the insurance commission, and I know. You were telling me you had a number of conversations with the people at the insurance commission, and I don't think they, from what you seem to be saying, they weren't prepared for what it took to process everybody in time for this March 1st day, were they?
Well, they actually had to hire or move people from other departments or something to come into this department that was doing this to try to get some of them done. It is, you know, I'm the first person in support of vacations, but when you have a deadline and the head of the department's on vacation that day, that doesn't seem like a real commitment. I don't want to take anyone's vacation away from him, but it would seem like he would be there for that crucial day. One of the ladies that I was dealing with was one of the most enthusiastic bureaucrats I'd ever met. I mean, she was on me like
white on rice, I think.
White on rice. and she said, "You get it right back to me." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So, you know, that was actually good to find a bureaucrat like that. Usually it's a hurry up and wait type of thing.
But the first certifications that y'all actually got weren't until after close of business on the 28th of February, were they?
So after the close.
Four or three or four or whatever it was.
And then the next one we got, you know, on Tuesday of this week. So it's a slow, cumbersome process. And
you still have people caught in the system now.
We're still waiting. They supposedly have lost one of our applications, even though we sent it in. So it's a process, and we do have staff in both of our offices here in Houston and Dallas
out in this
that are open, and
we have
people out still doing the work.
Well, I know when the original regulations were published in the Austin papers and the Dallas papers, Houston papers, everywhere else, it said there was also going to be an extensive 40 or 50 hours worth of tests, and maybe that was classroom-based, maybe it was online, we never knew. But all these tests also had to be finished, not by March 1st, but by some specific date. Originally, we were afraid it was going to be March, then it looked like maybe May.
May 1st.
So what happened to all the tests, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Poof. Just disappeared. Things are like that here in Texas, you know. One day you see something, the next day it just disappears.
And so why do you say disappeared? You hadn't heard a word about those tests.
You asked like a concerned citizen. You asked, well, where can I go take the test? You know, or where can I go get the lessons? You know, I want to sign up, get it done. And they never had a list. And then this last week, I got my certification from the state, and it said I was good to go until September. So
September 30th.
September 30th. So hey, I'm certified a prime A cut beef. I can go out and navigate all I want. No one can say anything to me. And it seems like they didn't need to test me. So
well, it makes you kind of believe. I don't want to put words in your mouth or anybody else. That a lot of this was just, you know, tom-tomming by, you know, war whooping by the governor, that they never had much of a plan. The insurance commission didn't know what the arm, didn't know what the elbow was doing. They were just basically trying to discourage people from enrolling because there was no class. There was no big whoop here.
It's just a PR thing. You know, you're running for president, you got to get a couple of things in the paper whenever you can, looking mean and tough. Scared the daylights out of me, but, you know, It just was a bunch of nothing.
We're talking to Oral Fitzsimmons, who's the Texas director of Local 100 United Labor Unions and is working with the navigation program to enroll people for the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. Oral, there was an election here last couple of days that's getting a lot of speculation in Texas. Texas is sort of a hard state to follow in our neighbor to Arkansas, but what happened in that election? What's the smart money saying, like yourself?
Well, pretty much Republican Party, every candidate, and they probably had over 1,000 candidates in the state for every type of little election you could think of, they all came out against Obamacare. And
that's the one thing they could agree on.
They all agreed on that. Tea Party, liberal Republicans, doesn't matter. They all agreed.
Take them down.
And, you know, it was heartwarming to see that we'd been out there talking to people and talking to churches and community groups and school districts and just the fabric of society. And they all seemed enthused about this concept that people might actually have health care so when they get sick, they get well. The Republican Party seems to be in some other planet, where they think that when people get sick, they should just go bankrupt. So that was interesting. We did have a governor's race going on where the guy that's the attorney general that has done everything that he can to oppose Obamacare got the Republican nomination. We have a second time in the history of this grand state as a woman running for governor from the Democratic Party. She's, I think has a chance to win the election, but it's going to be a tough road. The opponent, the Republican that is against Obamacare, has about $30 million in the bank, which is a hefty sum, and she's raised about maybe half of that. So it's going to be a tough race. I think they're going to try to make Obamacare an issue. And
well, it sounds like there was mixed point of views by all the political pundits about whether the Tea Party stepped forward on this election in Texas or fell backward. Now, why is that speculation out there?
Well, you know, the speculation's there. The scary thought is that we have in Texas the most powerful person in state government is lieutenant governor because he controls the state senate. And we have a guy that's been the state lieutenant governor for two terms and he's running for re-election. Yeah, this election they had the other day, this other guy got like 42% of the vote, and the sitting lieutenant governor got 27%. So he's going into the runoff a little behind. And unfortunately, Mr. Patrick, who is going in ahead, is one of the very most conservative Tea Party people in captivity in this state, other than, of course, Mr. Cruz, which probably takes the cake anywhere you go.
And that's one of the two U.S. senators.
One of the two U.S. senators that is certainly...
So I think part of what some people were saying was a setback for the Tea Party is they ran Tea People against almost all of your senior leaders in sort of the mainstream Republican Party. Your existing U.S. senator had opposition. Sessions.
Well,
what's going on with that?
Session had opposition, but you know, the Tea Party ran a pretty broad campaign. They had a guy running for the United States Senate that refused to campaign and didn't raise any money and was bankrupt. So that wasn't a real. And the big financial Tea Party people around the country didn't donate to his campaign because he had no chance of winning. Where the Tea Party did the best was, I think, in the smaller races, in state representative races, some state Senate races, and, of course, in the lieutenant governor race, the most powerful position in the state. They have one of their leaders is most likely gonna win that election in the runoff. So I think here in Texas, they didn't win the big United States Senate thing. Of course, you know, Mr. Cronin is one of the more conservative people in the United States Senate already. So they didn't really have a real good case. I think he has like a 98% conservative Congress or whatever it is that rates these people, voting record. So, but I think it's a party that's going to be continuing to grow here in Texas. It's going to hopefully force the Democrats to actually, you know, get more involved in what they're doing and raising more money to have candidates all across the board. In some counties, a county just south of here, the entire slate of countywide government people was won by Tea Party people, and the Democrats didn't even have a Democratic nominee for the general election.
What county was that?
Fort Bend.
Fort Bend, not far away. So you also mentioned at some point, I don't know if you said it on Waves World yet, the difference between the turnout, the voter turnout, Republican and Democrat. That might be something you might want to share with the listeners.
Well, the Republican primary attracted 1.4 million voters, and the Democratic primary attracted 550,000.
So more than double the number of Democrats. The Republicans outvoted them more than double. And is that also the way voter registration works in Texas, or is registration more evenly balanced than just Democrats don't come out and vote and just Republicans do, or what's the story there?
Well, I think recently in the last 10, 15 years, it's basically in the November election is straight ticket voting, where they just vote totally for the Republicans, and that's why they run every statewide office in the state. We used to do that as Democrats back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. I don't think that it's actually, you know, people out being out driven, you know, on the organizing level of registering new voters. I think there is a program here to try to change the numbers. It's going to take a number of years to make that happen. So I think we're keeping up with the voter registration battle. The problem is that there's just a lot more people, especially in the rural areas, where there'll be some counties that vote, you know, 8,046 to 23, and there's not even a Democratic Party competing for, you know, trying to get, you know, 400 votes in that county. It's just, you know, the Democratic Party's just gone.
Aren't some of the counties in the Rio Grande Valley area that are largely Latino, aren't they more Democratic registered and voted?
Well, I just read in the paper this morning that the vote totals have come in, and we started analyzing them, and that the gubernatorial candidate here, Wendy, actually didn't do very well down in the Hispanic areas in the valley. Her opponent, who was underfunded and not basically non-existent, got more votes than she got in the valley. I think with Mr. Bush, the ex-governor of Florida's son's now running, I think his name's George P. Bush. He got the nomination for land commissioner, I think it was. And he's going to, I think, be real strong in the Hispanic areas, just like his uncle was. It's going to be a little...
Of course, his mother is...
Right.
from Latin America, and he speaks Spanish.
Right.
So he's a legitimate candidate in that sense. But registration is still higher in the Rio Grande counties, just like registration in the Democratic side, just like registration in some of these rural counties is higher for Republicans. That's true. So is the fight really just who gets their vote out?
Well, I think that could be I think it's the fight in the general election is going. I mean, some of it's certainly going to be turning your vote out, and the Democrats. I mean, I've been involved in races here in Harris County where the Anglo turnout will be 30% and the Hispanic turnout will be 8%. And if it had been 9%, the Hispanic would have won. So there's a big job, especially in the Hispanic community, to turn out in their vote. And these are Hispanics that are already registered to vote. They've done the legwork. They're there on the ballot, on the rolls, but they just don't come out and vote. And it has probably to do with some of the candidates. Also, the leadership is ingrained and have won elections 8-9 times in a row. They're going to win no matter what happens. So they don't really spend a lot of effort into upping the turnout in their areas of control.
So you were mentioning that there's a lot of attention in Texas now, maybe that's largely in the Houston area, about national unions and maybe even the National Democratic Party having a project to turn Texas blue, whatever that means. Now, was there any signs of that in this primary, or what does it mean to turn Texas blue?
Well, yeah, there are a number of different unions are putting large amounts of money into turning Texas blue. And they're looking at, they have the one of the exes from the Obama campaign moved to Texas to run the program. And it's started, it's been going on for 2 years. I really haven't personally seen a whole lot of activity here in Harris County. Harris County is actually a Democratic county now. It's one Obama carried it in the last two elections. Of course, to Democrats to win statewide, we need to win, you know, by 10-15%, and we're winning by 1-2%. So there's a lot of work to be done here. But I haven't seen the product of what they're talking about. I've seen, you know, some of the organizational meetings. I've seen, you know, comments about the money and the unions and other groups being interested in doing something. But there certainly hasn't been any results. I mean, one of the things you want to look at is the data, and the data would be 500,000 people voted in Texas and 1.4 million Republicans. So, you know, it didn't see much of an effect in the actual vote count.
And clearly that means the turnout in some place like Houston, which is Houston, San Antonio, classically Democratic cities here in Texas. So, gee, the vote turnout must have been very weak in both of those areas.
A state senator got reelected here getting 6,000 people to vote for him. And in you know, just 10 years ago, it would probably take 20,000. So, at least in the primary, there wasn't any really big contested races, so the people just stayed home. The problem is that now we have to get them out for the general election, and we should have been practicing getting them out in the primary to get the machine going, because it's, you know, 6 months from now, but it's going to take effort. There's only one solution, and that is knocking on doors, talking to people one-on-one, doing the work out in the precincts.
And but there's also a big push. I mean, there may be, as you say, some unions and others that have this term Texas Blue Project, but the Koch brothers, AndrewBreitbart.com, all of his sites, I mean, we've got James O'Keefe and his gang with Veritas down here. They've sort of swooped, you know, Brandon Darby, they've sort of swooped in on Texas. Largely, I mean, Breitbart made a big point about the fact that we're opening in London and Texas because there were elections coming up here, and they wanted to make sure that they were beating back Wendy Davis on the Democratic side, and God knows what they're doing in the United Kingdom. That's a long way from here and the conversation we're having. But so it looks like maybe they're out organizing us and a number of other things. Sounds like they're jumping out a lot harder than we are, from what you're saying.
Well, you know, I think these people have proven they don't know how to give up. O'Keefe was here in Houston just a week or so ago doing an interview on an AM radio station, mentioning you know, Acorn, mentioned Local 100, and just, you know, ranting and raving.
Well, God knows it's good to have a fan.
Well, we can always count on him to mention us when he gets on the radio. That's really nice of him.
That's right. He certainly feels the love for us, but you kind of wonder if he had to come down here just get away from all of his troubles everywhere else. It seems like everything he was doing was getting into a ton of mess, but down here he gets a pretty wide berth, doesn't he?
Well, there's a little welcome mat in certain parts of the community here in Houston and in Texas for something like that. But
didn't he also do some scam videos or some kind of videos on the enrollment process for the Affordable Care Act down here?
Right when it started, he was up in Dallas as one of his henchmen coming into our office. Luckily, our good Kenny Stretcher that runs our office in Dallas kicked his ass right out the door.
Well, but that didn't happen to everybody who was involved in registration, was it?
No, the enrolled American people got caught on, their communication director got caught on film and talking about giving their list to this guy that was scamming them for political purposes. And that guy, I think, was fired 2 days later. But, and you also have United, the Urban League got caught on film also. Telling people to just lie about the question that they ask about the do you smoke or not. So, some of the people weren't quite prepared for Mr. O'Keefe and his way of doing things, but he did learn a lesson when he came into our office, and that was not to come back.
But you also have to believe that he's been so public about his presence in Texas and this whole push by the Koch brothers and Breitbart.com, which is, contractor for him. You'd think everybody'd be on their toes here looking for him.
Well, you would think that. And he certainly wouldn't be going with one of his people out to a bar and talking about, breaking the law four or five different ways. I think some of these people that involved in Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, this is the first time they've been to the rodeo. And some of us have been to the rodeo before. Of course, I mentioned rodeos because we got the biggest rodeo in captivity going on here in Houston this week.
Well, in captivity, that's a funny word to use here. I'm talking to Oral Fitzsimmons, who's the state director for Local 100 of the United Labor Unions. We've been talking about the enrollment process for the Affordable Care Act, and we're talking about the strange, wild politics of our neighboring state, big old Texas. Now, Oral, if people are looking to get a hold of Local 100 or find where they can get some navigators or help, who would they contact? Where would they go?
Well, if you're in Houston anytime, 713-863-9877 would be the best place to call. We also have a website, Local 100 ULU. You can look us up that way. You can also go to the CMS healthcare.com website, and they have the listing of all of the offices that have navigators in Houston and in Dallas and throughout the state. So you can contact us that way. We've been getting a number of people calling from that avenue just recently.
The goals are to get as many people in as possible by March 31st, right?
Correct.
And that gives, we're on the countdown, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be open every day of the week. So whenever it's most convenient for you, come on, give us a call.
How are people getting that word out in Texas?
Well, we've been in the leafleting business for 4 or 5 months now, and I think some of it's coming home to roost. People must have kept them, and they're calling us in. We're doing big events in connection here in Houston with Congressman Gene Green, Al Green, Sheila Jackson Lee. All different types of state representatives are opening up meetings for us to attend. It's pretty much the Democratic establishment is going full tilt into trying to get their people into the Affordable Care Act.
You get a sense that this is just going to be a war in the trenches straight through. Here we have an expanded Medicaid coverage in Texas and Arkansas. Narrowly the fourth or fifth vote by one vote, they've decided to keep the private option, which means those 100,000 people that signed up are still going to be able to stay on Medicaid within that option. But there's nothing going to be easy about getting health care for people, is there?
It's going to be a long struggle. We've been at it for 100 years in this country, and this is year one of the Affordable Care Act. It's going to be year two coming up here pretty soon. It's going to be hand-to-hand combat with these people. It's going to be a struggle. And if we went into it thinking it was something other than a struggle, we were wrong. But you know what? We're going to beat them back, and the word's going to get out because people are signing up. There's millions of people in this country going to have health care. There's going to be a lot of good stories to make.
And we have some good stories. This has been Wade's World every Friday, 9 to 9:30. We were talking to Oral Fitzsimmons, state director in Texas for Local 100 of the United Labor Unions. We'll be back next Friday with another interesting discussion. This has been KABF, 88.3 FM, 100,000 watts, the voice of the people. Wade's World, signing off. Bye.